Well, it is summertime. Get a little downtime, and I guess you can fill your void this summer by listening to the Publics and Privates OK Preps podcast, and that's what we are. Back for another episode to try and keep you entertained during the summer months until you get your football, softball, volleyball, and cross-country fix back in the fall, and this is us. Here with my co-host, Michael Swisher, who's about ready for some downtime in the summer, I'd imagine. Michael, what do you think?
Yeah, it's about that time, but I mean, how long have we been trying to get together on this? How many swings and misses have we had for this podcast?
We'd have to go back in the text trail, but probably, 2 weeks? Ever since high school baseball ended, and it was kind of a, hey, you want a podcast? Yeah. And it was either, nope, I can't, you can't, yeah. We both can't. I'll wait till you're dodging a tornado. You wait for me to dodge a tornado, and that's been happening for about 2 or 3 weeks now, and everyone here in Tulsa swimming upstream.
Yeah, I'm between floods, I think. Ours came up and went down, came back up and went down, and I think they're predicting another week worth of rain, so who knows, maybe I got some more coming my way.
Yep, that's right. I went ahead and got the yard mowed and everything Saturday to avoid all the rain on Sunday, and I barely saw any clouds today, so, you know, that's how it goes. But we're going to try and keep you entertained during the summer. I'm trying give you your fill, at least, of high school sports, and we'll have some stuff on Squirtle throughout the summer. Later in the podcast, we're going to talk about the Squirtle shootout basketball tournament, or just kind of some basketball play period coming up later this weekend. And then we'll have the Squirtle shootout is also, it's also the name of the football event, if I'm correct, right?
That is now the showdown, I do believe.
Oh, the showdown, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if you'll go back to last year's event, and if you watch the videos that I did from Norman North, it was both the shootout and the showdown because I'm an idiot and I couldn't keep it straight. And I'm pretty sure it was just the showdown, but I kept calling it the shootout, or half the time anyway.
We need to do some sort of like make it a determination, like a pigskin or football or something. Yeah. Simple, so we don't have to get all the Squirtles and the S's and everything. Just counterintuitive to what we're trying to do here.
Yeah, you know, confusing for an old guy such as myself.
Yeah, that's right. But like I said, we're going to try and fill the void for you this summer. We'll have some content up on the website and here before too long. I'm going to start football previews. That'll be here before you know it. And we're going to do some softball, volleyball as well, and try and get those previewed. I mean, the fall sports are pretty lucky in the fact that you have 3 months to work up preview stuff. Whereas spring sports, you
forget about a preview.
They're 2 weeks in by the time you're done with basketball.
Yeah, no previews for the spring sports. Sorry, guys.
Nope. I think you normally get here's an athlete to watch in late April, as the state tournaments are rolling around. So that's what we got, and you know, we can go ahead and talk a little high school baseball. I was at a One Oak Field a couple weeks ago for the 5A and 6A finals. Two programs that actually won their first titles. Edmond Santa Fe with a late rally over Broken Arrow won 5-4, and Pryor put it all over Carl Albert, which was kind of surprising. Figured that would be a pretty close one, but Pryor got their first title 11-0. Congratulations to the Tigers and the Wolves. And if you haven't checked out the, you know, kind of the post game celebration videos and everything, got those on Squirtle. And Michael, what'd you think about those guys winning some titles?
Well, like you said, the 5A was the big shocker to me. Just, you know, if nothing else, just the margin of victory. I think the highlight of the whole weekend, though, had to be the semifinals, wouldn't you say? The grand slam, the walk-off grand slam by Santa Fe to knock off
Jinx.
Yeah, in the semifinals, Trace Ford with the walk-off granny. And, you know, I was actually in Edmond. I think we were at Edmond North at the time doing quarterfinals for 4A when that happened. And, you know, a lot of people were kind of hovering around talking about that, thinking that Santa Fe was done. And then, boom, grand slam ball game. And it's great to see somebody, especially at the bigger school, you know, somebody who obviously is really good in another sport going to play football collegiately, it's good to see somebody, you know, do something big in the quote-unquote secondary sport of theirs. Trace Ford, you know, with probably the biggest hit in Santa Fe history there.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you mentioned that. You know, a guy playing a different sport. Obviously, Andrew Rame of Broken Arrow is mostly known for being one of the highly sought-after offensive linemen in football, but he had a monster home run in the championship game that kind of looked like it was going to set the tone for Broken Arrow and maybe lead to another championship. But Edmund Santa Fe mounted a late comeback, and, you know, kudos to them. It was kind of cool watching them celebrate, and they could not have been happier. You know, really got their fans involved. You know, obviously that happens a lot, but you could definitely tell that this one meant a lot to all of them, that they were finally getting over that hump. So, like I said, congratulations to both of those programs. And 4A, I know this is the one you were mostly involved with, and it dealt with its fair share of delays, but Blanchard finally beat Hera. No surprise that Blanchard would finally win another title?
Yeah, no, none at all. I mean, that was before the season started. Everybody knew Blanchard was the team to beat, and it played out that way, undefeated. It's not unheard of in 4A, but certainly is difficult in 4A. They played a really difficult schedule and beat all comers. And I mean, it was just, you know, they had too much. That their lineup, you know, up and down that lineup, just way too solid to go through three or four times and not get touched up a little bit. And just some depth of pitching, especially with Beck, you know, being able to pitch him twice in the state tournament, that's a nice card to play right there.
I'm a little surprised that they only have four titles in the program, but, you know, like you said, 4A is difficult to win, so it's not just a given every year.
Yeah, and I mean, that's and I'd have to look and see what the years were, but that's a pretty spread out four, I do believe.
It's
been a solid program for decades, and I'd be willing to bet they've won some in the 70s. I don't know that. But Blanchard's been just a solid program for a long time.
Yep, that's exactly right. And then 3A, it was Atoka beating Marwa 5-4. That was actually the only class that I think was, trying to think back to that day now, I believe Atoka was the only title game able to play that day. I believe Silo had to beat Dale on that Monday, if I recall correctly, and then 4A was a little bit after that, but Atoka beat Marlowe, and then Silo beat Dale for the 2A title.
Yeah, Atoka, that's so Corey Sutter's hometown, Scissor Hands, down here in Oklahoma City. A lot of people know Scissor Hands, but yeah, his Wampus Cats got the job done. That's their first ever title, and then Silo, I believe they were undefeated as well. And that was another deal where, you know, going into the season, they're obviously the team to beat, and just lived up to it, and nobody could.
Yeah, and then the week before that, Wright City beat Rattan for the Class A title, and then Roth beat Drummond for the Class B. Wright City, obviously, with one of the best nicknames in the state.
Yeah, the Jacks, man.
That's right.
That's the hometown of J Radio Lindley, my old Coach's Aid cohort.
No, they're nice.
Yeah, it's Wright City to us. It's Rat City down there.
Well, of course.
R-A-T-T City, Rat City.
Well, I think I've told you this before, but we went to Broken Bow last summer, and it is vastly different than the rest of the state.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't look like over here where I'm at.
No, it does not look like Kingfisher at all.
The plains.
I've never seen so many tall trees, and I would have sworn we actually went to Broken Bow, and we actually missed the turn at Antlers, so we had to take the long way around through Hugo, and we actually went through Wright City, and the only phrase that comes to mind is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Just could not believe it. But high school baseball, you know, brought a close to the athletic season, you know, so like we were talking about, we had a couple months of downtime, but going to try and recap some of the highlights of the 18-19 athletic season. Kind of putting you on the spot, Michael, but maybe one thing that maybe stood out to you throughout the year. I know there were so many big time moments. What was something that really caught your eye?
I'm going to be a homer. I can't really help it, but you know, the high point of the season for me was watching Kingfisher in Heritage Hall. And I tried to think of something else that I could come up with, but this was a game that was so highly anticipated all year long. They stayed away from each other all year. Just the backdrop of Heritage Hall beating Kingfisher the year before in the finals when Kingfisher was undefeated and trying to repeat. This time around, Heritage Hall was undefeated and trying to repeat. And, so the two Titans, sometimes you don't get the dream matchup you want, and this time it happened, and Kingfisher just put on a dominant performance in front of a packed State Fair arena. And so, it was just, as far as just, coming away, the buildup, the anticipation of a big game, the buildup and everything kind of playing out the way it did. To me, that was just a moment for me personally. Obviously, I have the connections in Kingfisher, which add to it. But I think it was just, to me, the highlight of the year.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember. I think, obviously that was the anticipated matchup, but they both earned that spot in the title game by just completely dominating the rest of the field, if I recall correctly.
Yeah. Elgin pushed Kingfisher pretty good in the first round, but Kingfisher was just so good defensively, and Heritage Hall just blew out John Marshall, and I can't remember who they played in the quarterfinals now.
Anadarko or someone like that?
It was a Southeastern team, I believe. Okay. It was Holland Hall that beat Anadarko. But anyway, okay. Heritage Hall, they played a tough schedule this year, and for them to be undefeated was fairly remarkable, and it was just, it was a great atmosphere, and so it was certainly fun to be a part of that.
Yeah, and I'm going to piggyback off of that and be a homer. Probably one of the highlights for me I'm going to go all the way back to December, Broken Arrow winning that first title. Pretty special. Yeah, I've seen a lot of Broken Arrow teams in the past get to the semifinals or even quarterfinals in the past. Just, not be able to come up with what it takes to get to the title game. And heck, Broken Arrow almost lost to Owosso in the semifinals this year. So they got to the title game. They didn't do anything fancy, nothing real flashy. Had to sit around during a rain delay for it to even happen, but finally got that first title. For me, that was pretty cool as an alum to be there and kind of watch it in person.
Yeah, I'm sure you shed a little tear.
Oh, yeah.
I shed a little tear, too. But, that's something we've all been waiting to see happen.
Yeah.
And, they've come close a time or two. What was it? The team that got beat by Union in the finals a handful of years ago.
Maybe 2011.
In Stillwater.
2011 when Colby Evans scooped and scored on a fumble for a touchdown, and I think Archie Bradley is a quarterback.
Just so, I don't know if you remember that game at all or not.
Nah, not much.
But, yeah, coming so close then, but you knew. It was obviously the Jinx Union juggernaut was broken up the year before by Owosso, but you just kept waiting for Broken Arrow to break through because, here they are, the biggest school in the state, and had that stigma of not being able to win it. I'm sure a proud moment for you, and certainly something worthy of huge headlines.
What was cool is, since I help out the Tulsa World during football season, Barry Lewis gave me the option of if I wanted to cover Metro Christian and Beggs, I believe it was, and they were playing in Sepulpa, or help him at the 6A1 title game. I was like, I think I'll go to Tulsa. Not only that, because the forecast was obviously not looking great, didn't know how that would work out, and Tulsa's closer to where, and University of Tulsa's closer to where I live, so figured all those put together, let's go to the 6A1 title game and see what happens. And, sure enough, it was a great game. That's another thing that sticks out to me during the athletic year was just the chaos of championship Friday night for football. I know it was kind of a disaster everywhere. 6A2 title game at Owosso, I believe they had to go in and out of taking cover twice. 5A title game was kind of a mess. 4A, trying to remember off the top of my head. Oh,
Tuttle and Bethany. I can't remember if they had the issue or not, but you're right. Pretty much everywhere they ran into it because it was a statewide issue that night. So, nobody was quote unquote safe, if you will.
Yep, and I remember Heritage Hall against Sulphur. I know our good pal Whit Carter was wishful and hopeful after Sulfur knocked off Kingfisher and he got some bragging rights over you.
Yeah, he was really hopeful and had every right to be, but then they had kickoff. And then, yeah. After kickoff, then the hopes went out the door.
Yep, but, that's right.
It was a great year for Sulfur. I'm not taking
it. No, it was yeah, Trey Kaiser and those guys were absolutely phenomenal. Then the next week, got to watch Sperry win their first title game. You know, I think we talked about it at the time, but you know, I'm pretty sure everyone in the state was pulling for Beggs after what happened with the tragedy there. But Sperry was the dominant team throughout. Bo Teal at quarterback, pretty cool. You know, it's another one of those deals like baseball with prior to Edmund Santa Fe winning their first titles. It's the first one for Sperry. You know, you could tell it meant a lot to them because they've always been a 2A school that's really good, but. You know, when you had teams like Millwood, who everyone thought was unbeatable this year, you know, to be able to win that gold ball was pretty special.
Yeah, and all that seems like such a long time ago, too.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, 6 months, I mean, it sort of was, but yeah. You remember the emotions around that, you know, that whole time there for Beggs and Sperry. Emotions were definitely high, and you credit Beggs for getting done what they got done. It was you know, really commendable.
Yeah. What about for you? Is there anything in the fall sports season that stood out to you? You know, you were talking about Kingfisher winning titles. I could have sworn you were going to say the most memorable was hanging out with me at Shawnee watching the Kingfisher girls win the cross country title.
Hey, you know, that was a lot of fun. I was talking with one of my classmates from Alabama. For those who don't know, I graduated high school in Alabama, although I grew up in Oklahoma. And our alma mater won its, I think, third straight golf title and pretty much smoked everybody. And talking about taking things for granted, I say two things you don't do about state championships are take them lightly and take them for granted. And, you know, that cross country is the one that comes to mind for me because, you know, that meant the world to those young ladies who got it done, and to see them work towards that. And I had a cousin on that team who, you know, had just missed out on being All-State the last 2 years, 11th place the last 2 years, I believe. And so her goal going in was, one, to win a state championship, and two, to earn All-State. And she made both of them happen. And so just to see a team, you know, to be able to watch them grow towards that goal and to earn it, I mean, it was a lot of fun, and it was fun to see their reaction, and to know it was coming because you had sent me a text, a picture of the results before any of those girls knew, and so I knew it was coming. It was fun to watch that happen.
Right, yeah, and you know, we talked a couple weeks back about, you know, because I was at the 3A 4A track meet at Catoosa, and the winner of that 4A girls cross country meet was Kennedy Price, who I think has a chance to be one of the more storied athletes in this state based on what she's been able to do so far with two cross country titles as a sophomore, then winning all the gold medals that she does in track. You know, I definitely think that, you know, and like I told you, we'd like to have Chris Wilfong on the podcast at some point this summer, and maybe we can find an old, you know, cross country or track historian, but find out, you know, kind of what's ahead of her and see if what's ahead of her is possibly being the best track athlete to ever come through this state.
Yeah, and I, you know, Brooke Edsel won 4 cross country state championships.
Right.
I remember that. That certainly has been done, but she didn't have the success in track at the level that Kennedy has had. So it that's certainly going to be fun to watch. And I'll tell you, she can cover some ground on a basketball court
too. Yeah.
She throw with the top of a 1-3-1, and she can wreak some havoc up there at the top of that.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch her going forward. Anything else from the fall sports season that comes to mind?
Like I said, it was so long ago, and I think, you know, just the Broken Arrow was the football story that stood out to me this year, and obviously we already touched on that. But you know, them, and then just getting to see Kingfisher do it. Other than that, you know, those are the ones that stood out to me.
And I think you kind of hit on the basketball, you know, as far as the winter time, What was interesting to me was probably Sky Took being able to win dual state, and then I think Corbin McLaughlin, I believe, was 220 pounder for Sky Took that had it all on his shoulders to be able to either win, tie, or lose the state tournament for Sky Took, and he was able to do enough to where Sky Took and Collinsville split the state championship. So I thought that was pretty cool that Sky Took was finally able to break through. Collinsville's kind of dominated 5A wrestling for a while now, so pretty cool for Sky Took to kind of come along and make a name for itself with some young guys who are going to be there for a couple more years.
And then I heard Tuttle was good in wrestling this year.
I'd have to go back and check the record books on that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Word is Perry, maybe?
Perry was good in wrestling this year.
Yeah, I believe that is accurate. You know, I believe, you know, you talk about previewing a season, you know, you can preview a wrestling season by just saying Tuttle and Perry will wrestle. That is all.
Yeah, expect champions to come from Tuttle and Perry this year.
Yep, that's right. And, you know, in Tuttle next year, we'll have Luke Serber as a senior and Dustin Plott as a senior. And I believe we touched on it back before the state tournament or before regionals were rolling around that I think someone had told you that they thought Tuttle had a chance going into next year to be able to win every weight class or something like that.
I can't even remember who that was, but they said that Tuttle, or somebody from Tuttle, really felt that, you know, that was not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, 4A is not, you know, super deep in wrestling. You know, Cushing, Wagner, some of those programs are, usually have some good guys. Elgin, Blanchard have some competitive guys to try and, you know, throw a wrench in everything. But, you know, it's always Tuttle standing at the top of the podium every year. So it'll be interesting to see what's to come of, you know, some of those wrestling programs next year. What about spring sports? A little bit, the ones that are more fresh in our mind, anything stand out to you?
Well, and we actually already, this is something I had planned, but we already touched on it. But the Trace Ford Granny, the Grand Slam, yeah, the walk-off, I think that was just like the play of the baseball season. And I mean, so, I mean, it was in the semifinals, but still propelled them to the state finals, where they turned that into their first state championship. But to me, just to see the reaction and how that all went down, to me, that's the highlight of the spring sports season, at least from a baseball standpoint.
Yeah, and in spring sports, it's so hard to differentiate all the different things going on because you got soccer and golf and softball and, you know, everything else. And, you know, something that I was hoping maybe at some point we could get, you know, some softball coaches on here and, you know, really talk about, you know, with the success that OU and OSU have had at the collegiate level and then UCO as well, you know, what would be the benefit in the state of dropping slow pitch and having two fast pitch seasons? I know that's always been thrown around, but I'd like to know, you know, that now that there's a lot of success at the next level, would it benefit everyone to have more fast pitch around here?
Yeah, that would be an interesting take to get from the coaches. I'm sure some of them wouldn't mind that at all, but then I'm sure some of them also enjoy the leisurely slow pitch season as well.
Yep.
So it'd be interesting to get their take. You know, another thing as far as spring sports go, the men's, boys, whatever you want to call it, boys golf. There's some really good golfers in Oklahoma right now.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the lower classes with Jackson Dowell from OCS, Drew Goodman from Christian Heritage. They duked it out a few times this year. Both are headed to OU. Both are really good. William McDonald from Heritage Hall, who's going to Arkansas. He's really, obviously really solid, but just some good young golfers too. I mean, their golf is just, that's a sport to me that's, man, we've really put some good golfers out there, and I think it's just it's getting deeper and stronger as far as the talent level here in Oklahoma.
Yeah, and it's, I think we've talked about it too, you know, going to a golf tournament is kind of underrated entertaining. You know, you have to obviously know, it's one of those, kind of like any other spring sports event that you go to, whether it be tennis or track or something, once you kind of figure out your bearings and figure out who's where and everything, you know, the entertainment value is pretty high.
Yeah, no doubt. And especially if it's a, close at the end, and you know, you got your better golfers finishing out, and it happened with Goodman and Dowell playing the playoff. I believe they had to play a couple playoffs this year. I know at 4A girls it came down to the final hole. So stuff like that. Certainly. There's just a lot of drama out there.
Yep, absolutely. You know, earlier I teased about maybe throwing some trivia your way. I know this is from Chris Wilfong's site. You know, I was at thegame.com, and at some point we're going to have him on the podcast to kind of go over some highlights of his from this past athletic season, because more than anyone in the state, I think he would be able to remember something more memorable than maybe we're able to come up with. But do you happen to know the school that won the most championships during this past school year?
Ooh, most championships in 2018-19. I'm going to say Heritage Hall.
Incorrect. Heritage Hall had three.
Okay. Let's see. And my second pick would be, I give up,
Bishop Kelly.
Kelly, okay.
Seven.
And those sports were what?
We had girls cross country, boys soccer, boys swimming, boys tennis, girls tennis, volleyball. How many is that?
Yes, I'm gonna say five.
Okay, well, it has seven listed. So unless I glossed over one or something, so
they're like the Stanford. Then you know they win all those.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, when Stanford claims all the most national championships for a year. I got you.
Yep, yeah. That's right.
That's a good year. I mean, like. Like I said, you don't take any of them lightly because, huge accomplishment regardless.
Yep. And second on the list might be sort of easy because for a while through winter sports, I thought this school was going to be the school of the year.
Is it Broken Arrow? Okay. Booker T.
Starts with a T.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I still give up then.
Tuttle.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Because we had. Off the top of my head, I remember fast pitch football, and then obviously both wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, and then Broken Arrow is third on this list, and you know I was in a text conversation with one of the coaches there. You know, as the baseball team was leading midway through the game, thinking, you know, win or lose. Best athletic season in Broken Arrow's history, in my opinion, to be able to win football, win both wrestlings, nearly won the baseball title. They were texting me back and saying, yeah, Broken Arrow won almost four of the five major sports. I don't know. I guess he was talking about football. He was talking about boys basketball included, but boys basketball was the missing void in there.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Decent year for your Tigers.
Yeah, it was a pretty good year. And then there are a whole bunch of schools further on down the list that had 3-2. Way too many to mention in there. But yeah, kudos to all the schools that won titles this year. Like you said, big accomplishments. Don't take them lightly. Celebrate them forever and ever. Make sure you remind all your friends and family 20 years from now that you won that state title because you earned that right to do so.
I certainly would. If I had a ring, I might still be wearing it around.
That's right. And then we were going to close out the podcast talking about this upcoming Squirtle shootout in Cushing this weekend. Some boys and girls basketball. Michael Swisher has been so kind to post an article on Squirtle.com. Kind of previews what's going on. And we'll be posting some tweets and kind of getting the promo train running this week leading up to it, but basketball starts at 9 a.m. and runs all the way through 8:20. So, you know, if you feel like you need to come watch some basketball and don't have anything to do on June 8th, then consider that your entertainment for the day.
Literally going to be 12 hours of basketball. There's going to be 24 hours of basketball. 12 hours straight on two different courts, 12 boys teams, 12 girls teams. You can go in there and find the schedule. But yeah, the first game tips at 9. The last game scheduled to tip at 8:20, and then, you know, they're allotting, I think, 40 minutes for every game. So yeah, come on out. And Squirtle will be live streaming all of the games from court 1. And so, like I said, you can get on there, see the schedule, see the teams that are gonna be live streamed, and then Ben and myself will be interviewing some players and coaches over by court 2. None of that will be live, I don't believe. We might throw something up live here or there, but those will be on the website and on your app and all that jazz on down the line once we get those posts produced and thrown up there.
That's right. That job will be left to Corey to put all the intro stuff on there, and, you know, he'll put his magic on all the videos.
We do the hard work, and then he comes in and does all the easy stuff.
Yeah, that's right. That's what we tell him.
Yeah. I'll do just kind of rundown
of
the teams that are going to be there. And this, not all schools are going to have boys and girls teams there. So here are the girls teams: Cashin, Cushing, Dale, Varnum, Kingston, Calumet, Garber, Perry, Shattuck, Chisholm, La Mega, and Sulphur. And like I said, you can go on the site, and most of those teams, I just added a little note about, mostly about what they did last year. You know, some of these have a lot of players coming back. Some of these teams lost a lot of players, but there are some perennially good teams that are going to be there. And on the boys' side, Cashin, something to be said about their coach right here, but I won't say it right now. Cashin, Cushing, Dale, Varnum, Kingston, Calumet, Garber, Perry, Adair, Rejoice Christian, Okema, and Minko. So obviously a couple of defending state champs are going to be here for this summer league tournament. And another runner-up I'm looking at just off the top of my head, and multiple state tournament teams. So, there really should be some good basketball action. And these are, 40 minutes. I'm sure just, little probably 18-minute halves and in and out. And just, you need to fill that basketball void this summer, then head on over to Cushing Middle School, join us there, come by, say hello. And if you can't be there, then log on to Squirtle.com or pull up your Squirtle app, and you can watch 12 hours straight if you want to.
Boy, that's one heck of a Saturday. If you ask me, you can watch the Squirtle shootout on your laptop and fire up the U.S. Open on the TV. How's that?
Absolutely. I mean, that sounds like a pretty good Saturday to me.
Sure, absolutely. And like you said, those are the teams involved. Action starts at 9:00. Plenty of basketball to, wet your whistle for the summertime. As far as that, is there maybe a couple athletes in this you're looking forward to watching, or just kind of?
One thing that I'm honestly looking forward to on the girls' side, Lomega's going to be there. They lost a couple of good seniors, but they got a newcomer coming in, Addison Wilson. I'm very interested to see how she's going to fit in with the likes of Emma Duffy and Hensley Eaton, two of the better players coming back for Lomega. That's quite a little trio there for already a pretty good Class B team. So interested to see how she's going to fit in with this team. And this will probably be the first time that they've all, been on the court together. Like I said, we'll see how she meshes with them.
Awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to it, and also looking forward to the Squirtle Showdown for football later on in June. So for now, we'll get some basketball and do some Squirtle live streaming. So make sure to check that out. And like I said, we'll be kind of promoting it throughout the week. So keep an eye out for that. And for now, we will sign off, and we'll come up with some big time topics for this summer. I know everyone's dying to offer up an opinion on the public and private debate, so we can dive into that. And Michael, you have any parting words?
I don't think anybody cares about public and private anymore, so we're probably good there.
Okay, so we can probably we should probably start our own private school.
Yeah, there you go. Nobody will care at all.
All right, sweet. All right, well, in the meantime, we're going to get some enrollment going. We're going to, you know, try and find some really great athletes. And then, yeah, maybe we can join the ranks of state champion as a private school. So, you know, in the meantime, just be on the lookout for some podcasts throughout the summer and some content on the website. And we will see you guys later.